I wanted to share, as I was reflecting this morning on sharing for the youth. Actually, I was thinking this week about sharing for the youth, and then I think this morning it took a bit of a turn, and I wanted to just share this morning a little bit of my own testimony, which I've shared, I think, many times before, but maybe share in a little bit more detail the years immediately following my graduation. And in that, I have a passage, a couple passages, but probably one that really was on my heart this morning from John chapter 7, a very familiar passage. John 7, verse 37, Jesus says, "Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, 'If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water.'" And there's another passage in John chapter 4 that I was thinking about. This thought of being thirsty. And there's many wells, and for our grads and for all of us, we know that there's many wells that are luring us to come and to drink. And that search for the right well is really what my 6 years after graduation kind of fulfilled. It was that. I was searching. And when Jesus is talking to this woman at the well, you get this picture. Because in the Old Testament, God would say to them through the prophets, he would talk about their lovers. He said, "You have many lovers." And in this case, he's talking to this woman, and he says to her at the one point, he says, "Give me a drink." She says, "You don't have any, like, why are you talking to me?" He says, "If you knew who was talking to you, you would actually ask me for a drink." You know the interaction that happens there. And in the end, she says, "You know, I want this." And he says, "Well, go call your husband first." And she says, "I don't have a husband." And he says, "You're right. You have five. You've had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband." And it came to my mind in the thought of, here's a woman, a picture of someone. In this case, it's a woman, but it could be anyone. It could be me, as you'll hear my story a little bit. But, you know, we're seeking after something. And all of a sudden, this woman got a glimpse of, I think, something in her heart said, "This is the lover I've been looking for," not in a worldly, carnal sense, but in the true thing that would satisfy. So when I graduated from university, I graduated from high school, I had applied to a number of universities, and I had applied to Bible College, a Bible college in Colorado, so I got accepted. I don't recall exactly. I got accepted, I think, into the universities that I'd applied for. I also got a call from the Bible College, and the Bible College said, "Hey, you've applied for two semesters. The two semesters that I applied for were the ones where I could ski." And they called me and said, we need you to apply for all three. We can't take you just for two." And I said, "I'm not coming for three. I'm coming for two if I come, because I really only want to come and ski." I didn't say that, but that's what was in my mind, in my heart. And so they said, "No, you have to come for the full three." And so I declined. And so I continued on, and I decided I would go to the University of British Columbia, UBC. I say that for the likes of those that are from the U.S. who may not know what UBC means. And then a week before school was to start, we got a call from the Bible College that they were now going to let me in for two semesters. So we embarked on this journey of trying to get money back from UBC and get flights to Colorado. And in the end, I just finally said to my parents, I said, "This is not working. Like, this is not meant to be." I had enough sense, even though you could tell where my heart was at, it really wasn't in going to Bible school, it was in going to Colorado. I had enough sense about me to say, something just doesn't feel right about this. So I went on to UBC, and my first 2 years that I was at UBC, I was thinking about that this morning, and I was thinking, I look back, I don't remember a lot of those 2 years. Like, I was just I was living for myself. I wasn't seeking the Lord. I don't even remember if I read my Bible. I was trying to reflect, like, did I even read my Bible then? It was nothing. It was just 2 years. I know I did things that I were wrong. They were sin. I think back to that, and I know that I wasn't denying myself in any way. I was in no way taking up my cross and following Jesus. I was just living for myself. And kind of, I was, when I left, I was 17 and a half years old. I left home, and I was, you know, kind of just all of a sudden exposed to what the world had to offer. 2 years, right when I was studying for my final exams, at the end of my second year of university, I got a call from my childhood best friend and said, do you want to go to Bible school in Austria with me in the fall? And so this was a very opposite experience. All of a sudden, everything started to fall into place. And I never thought about skiing, I don't think. It doesn't come to my mind that my motive wasn't to go to Austria to ski. Now, all of a sudden, it was like, you know what, yeah, I would like to take a year off and go. And where my dad had been very cautious, and I always wanted my parents' blessing, my dad had been very cautious. You know, I had their support to go. And so I went, and I would share with you, when I went, this is where I got my first touch from the Lord. And just maybe the irony of it, 2 years ago, we were in Colorado, and this Bible school is in a place called Estes Park, Colorado, that I had originally applied to. And we were with a family there, and we were driving to a national park, and we drove through this town called Estes Park. And I looked at the guy that I was with. I said, this is Estes Park? And he says, yeah. Estes Park was absolutely nowhere near any ski hills. I looked at him. I said, I wanted to come here and ski. And the Lord knew I would never ski here. Like, I would not have been able to ski. So when I got to Austria, unbeknownst to me, my door opened onto the parking lot of the ski hill. I kid you not, it was like I would walk across my 3-foot sidewalk, step over about a 2.5-foot curb, and I was now in the gondola parking lot. My heart was so different. I wasn't there to ski. My heart was, I didn't even know it, but my heart was softened incredibly. I had traveled, and I think I had, over the 2 years probably that I was at school, and then traveling and that, I just came to a place where I realized, man, I've had so much, but I've not found this well of living water. I didn't know that. I couldn't have put that verse to it, nothing. But in my inside me, I was craving something. So I came to school there. I think we skied 2 times, maybe, as part of the group. Like, it wasn't in my mind that I was there to ski. I wasn't there for that motive anymore. But I remember that's the place where I made a decision that I would give my life to the Lord. And the Lord opened the word to me in ways that I had never experienced in my life. I never prayed a prayer, nothing. It was actually something I was listening to, ungodly music at the time. And someone came and shared on that. I know I've shared this testimony, part of my testimony before. And I just went through a tremendous wrestle and thought, man, like, I can't believe he would want me to give up my ungodly music. But I made a decision, and I never prayed a prayer or anything, but I just made a decision then. I would have been now probably 19 years old. And I made a decision. I said, Lord, I'm not going to give you just my music. I'll give you everything. If I could finally, it was like this woman at the well. It's like, Lord, I'll give you all of my lovers. Everything that I have pursued, I'll give it to you if I could experience something. I never prayed anything. But all of a sudden, in a moment, my life changed. The word, all of a sudden, I was reading verses that I had read probably many times. I'd probably memorized, never understood them. Now, all of a sudden, it was just like they were punching me in the face off the page. And I remember one of my best friends who was there with me saying to me, and I've shared this before, coming to me days after this interaction happened between me and the Lord, which was nothing verbal, no prayer. It was just a decision of the heart. And he said, I need to talk to you. And he took me away from the campus there and just said, what has changed? What happened? I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know. But he just said, something has dramatically changed about you. And it was finally coming to a place of surrender. But I'd love to say that's where it ends. And then from there on, I serve the Lord. So there's two parts, right? There's that decision to surrender your heart to the Lord. Right, it's like the man who finds hidden treasure in a field and sells all that he has and buys that field. But there's another part of the gospel that we know. Jesus said to them, he said, what does it take to be a disciple? Anybody remember what he said? Anyone wants to be my disciple, they must what? Take up your cross, is that what you're saying? Take up your cross and follow me. Take up your cross and follow me. So I came home from Bible school, and I remember being faced with decisions which involved me taking up my cross, denying myself, and following him. And I was unwilling. Wasn't, again, these are things, it was just, I was kind of alone. I came back, I was incredibly zealous for the Lord, but I didn't have any fellowship at that time, really. And I just wasn't willing to deny myself. So I began to go back to my old ways. And so unfortunately, we've been 2 years, now begins the four-year downward spiral. Outwardly, looked really good. Signed up with Northview, was leading one of their Bible studies, doing lots of really good things outwardly. But inwardly, it was a downward spiral. And I went back to my old lovers, and I found new lovers that I was pursuing life in. Like, I went back to my skiing. And you can see, I really want you to take away, the Lord isn't against skiing. He took me to a place where my room opened onto a parking lot. What he cares about is the heart, right? And this time, again, my heart changed, where I was pursuing these things, but I was pursuing them hoping I would find life in them. Now, all of a sudden, that was it. And there was other things. I'm not going to share what the other things were, because they aren't, the things themselves weren't necessarily wrong. But it was the heart, and I was go after them to the point I would injure myself and just spend I spent every penny. To the point I remember going home and literally counting my money out of my desk drawer to figure out how much change I had to my name, because I poured everything into my lovers. And yet in that I found no life. So it was 4 years. I now had the best equipment for my pursuits. I had my career. I had a relationship, which I thought surely that will satisfy. Would be a relationship. And it was nothing. Now it was like I had had five husbands, and yet I was still just empty. And so I came back to the exact same place I was at 4 years ago at Bible school, where I was just like, Lord, I will give you everything if I could truly find something that would satisfy. And so again, this interaction happened. But this time now, praise the Lord, God had brought me to this fellowship, which looked very different 21 years ago. But he'd brought me and surrounded me now with brothers who had shared with me the need that not just of a surrender, an initial surrender, but a need to daily take up my cross and follow Jesus Christ. And so that's where I came to. I came to this place of just being willing to surrender all. And God gave me life. And So that was 21 years ago, I think. I was thinking about that this morning. I hope my math is right. Anyway, but those 6 years, I share that with the grads, Anna, Aaron, and Lachlan, but for all of you, because I want you guys to, you know, as we reflected on what would we share with the grads, we talked about a couple things. We talked about this passage in Galatians 6, which says, if you sow to the Spirit, from the Spirit, you're going to reap eternal life. But if you sow to the flesh, which I did for 6 years, you're going to reap corruption. The decisions you make now, all of us make now, we're going to reap from them. You are going to get it. You plant an apple seed, you're going to get an apple tree. If you plant a bad seed, you're going to get bad fruit. And I can testify to that. I'm not getting into the detail because the detail doesn't edify, but I can tell you, I planted bad seed in those 6 years. And from that bad seed, I reaped bad fruit. And our desire for all of us in this body, for our grads, for our youth, but for all of us, is that we would sow to the Spirit, that from the Spirit we would reap eternal life. That's a daily choice. But you know what? Now, as you leave, to some extent, the shelter of your homes, maybe you're actually going away to university, maybe you're going to be traveling for work, maybe you're working locally, but still, you have more freedom. As you get older, you have more freedom. You have more opportunities to make decisions. And our desire, I think collectively, I'm sure I speak for your parents, but as a body, is that you would walk in a fear of the Lord. That's something, when I came to the Lord after those 6 years that I shared with you, my conclusion was I lacked a fear of the Lord. There was no consequence if I sinned. That was what was in my mind. The reality was I was completely blind that the devil was plundering me because of my sin. As I was sowing to the flesh, I was reaping. He was controlling, and there is a consequence. There is a consequence. The decisions we make today can have a consequence. And our desire is, I know, is that as a body and as young people, not just the grads, but all of our youth, that you would make good choices. You would be spared sowing to the flesh. But come to a place where you would hear Jesus crying out to you. I want to make this verse. I read this morning and I changed it, so I'm going to change it for you when I read it. Now on the last day, I'm going to move past that. Jesus cried out, "If you are thirsty, then come to me and drink. If you believe in me, as the scripture said, from your innermost being will flow rivers of living water." So in the days to come, in the years to come, when you are thirsty, and I'll tell you 100% it will happen, because it happens to me, it happens to all of us, where all of a sudden there's a thirst in us. And that happens often. We have a choice. Are we going to cry out to Jesus and say, "Jesus, I am thirsty, and my sinful nature, my flesh, my own desires are wanting to go after all of these things, hoping I could find some satisfaction in them. Jesus, satisfy. I'm coming to you. I'm crying out." The longer I've walked with the Lord now, the more personal my conversations are. I can tell you my conversation this morning with the Lord, I poured out my heart to him. I just said, "Lord, I'm thinking about some very specific things. I said, "Lord, I don't like this. I don't like the pressure I'm under. I don't like the weight I feel. I don't want to do this. But not my will, Lord. Your will be done." You can be very honest with the Lord. But in the end, come back to the way David would end. He said, "Lord, I trust you." Or the way Jesus ended his prayer when he said, "Lord, I don't want to go to the cross. Maybe you're going to be off. Maybe you're going to be tempted," as Andrew shared. "You're going to be in a situation where there's temptations. Lord, I don't want to suffer. Lord, I'd rather have all of them love me. That's what I'd rather have. I don't want them to mock me. But Lord, I'm willing. Give me the strength, because on my own, I can't do this." And you cry out and say, "Lord, I want to be like Daniel. Lord, I want you. I know are the only one. I've heard it as a child. I've heard it growing up as a youth. You, I know, if I go after that and try and find satisfaction in the praise of men or the whatever, maybe it'll satisfy for a moment. There's a passing pleasure. But Lord, you are the only one that can truly satisfy today and beyond." So I want to encourage you to cry out to Jesus. And if you have a decision to make, we talked about this too. We talked about, you know, as now, as you look to make these decisions, cry out to him. "Lord, I need to hear your voice. I lack wisdom. I need wisdom. What do I do in this situation?" Maybe all of a sudden you're being invited to something, or you have a decision that faces you, and you know what? Mom and dad aren't there necessarily in that moment to guide you in making that decision. This is where you go from a relationship with Jesus that, "Well, I did this because this is the home I grew up in and this is the way my home ran," to a relationship which is personal between you and your Heavenly Father, between you and Jesus, where you come to him and say, "Lord, I don't know what to do. I do this regularly. I do this regularly. Lord, I don't know what to do. I am confounded how to raise 5 young children right now. It just seems like we've turned a corner. And Whitney and I, you get us in the car right now, it used to be our safe haven. Now get us in the car and it's like, what do we do? Do we just pull over? Well, like, what do we do? We're totally at a loss. I'm literally, you get me? I was in the car yesterday, I was in the car this week, and most of the time I'm like, in the car, "Lord, I don't know what to do. I need you." And I say that's kind of an amusing example, but it's an example of, you know what, you can pour out your heart to the Lord at all times. This is our desire for our body. I share this, I convey a heart of, and I think it would be echoed. This is what we want. We desire a body of believers that isn't pursuing other things, isn't pursuing other lovers, but they found the fountain of living water. They found it in Jesus Christ. And that's our hope for our grads. That's our prayer for our grads and for our youth, but for our entire body. So I'm singling the 3 of you out, but I'm sharing this for all. I'm sharing this for myself. This is as real for me today as it was 21 years ago, is that I need this, because there's so many things that want to draw us away. But we want to encourage you, and we will be praying for you as a body. that as you go on, that you would find that personal relationship with Jesus in a deep way, that you would not, what is, I think of true wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I would say, share with you that one of the things I would say is true wisdom is someone that could look, could hear, and learn from somebody else's mistakes. There's a real, real blessing in that. And so my desire is that perhaps testimonies your parents have shared, others have shared, perhaps I've shared with you, when all of a sudden you're in a situation and it comes to your mind, you could say, you know what? I've heard what others have shared. And while everything in me wants to perhaps go this way, I'm going to deny myself in that. And I'm going to follow you, Lord, because I believe, but greatest of all is to believe the scripture, right? And to believe this word that says that if we, that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And in that bucket of diligently seeking him, I'm going to put in there who would deny themselves and say, Lord, I'm coming after you and not after whatever that is, because it's going to be different for each one of us. Anyway, that is what was on my heart for you this morning.